The decisions they make influence sports in Arizona now and in the future. Every move they make is news. Doug and Wolf bring you Newsmakers Week 2019, presented by Enterprise Bank and Trust. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Coyotes.
The head coach of the Coyotes, Rick Tocchet, live in studio. And it's really cool for Rick Tocchet to come in the Auction Community Studios. But Rick did fail in one thing that is usually a prerequisite for all coaches before they come in, and that is always win the night before.
Yeah.
Before you come in. I mean, that way it makes life so much easier. Do you really believe in the 24-hour rule, or does 4-0 to a playoff contender still stick in the crawl right now?
I've given the mantra to our players after a loss, or win or lose, the next day, let it go. And we're a day-to-day team, you know, all the stuff I've been saying lately, and I got to live it. So, yeah, I got to come to the rink today, and we have practice and bring the energy. But it's disappointing. We win that game. We're 2 points out. We're coming home to the fans. I was a little disappointed, obviously, in our first period. So, you're a little upset, but I got to bring it today for practice for sure. The energy.
Talk with all the injuries you guys have suffered right here. What do you say to your guys when you talk to them? Right, collectively, what do you say to your team about the situation?
For me, it's an opportunity. Like as a player, we were just talking off the air, but the agenda of players should be the team, but your own agenda is, where can I take this opportunity? All these people are watching me. I'm a fourth line. All of a sudden, I'm playing a third or second line role. Here's my opportunity. What am I going to do with it? And some guys have embraced it. Some guys have really kind of, here's my opportunity. I'm going to start to play better. I'm going to challenge myself. So
you don't
really
try to build up their confidence at all by saying, hey, listen, guys, we've had a lot of injuries. I think we all understand that you don't try to play some Jedi mind trick on these guys.
Well, I have said, hey, listen, around the league, we're a bunch of ragtags. I play that card, and it's true. Like, I don't think we got respect 6 weeks ago. We climbed somewhat, near the race.
Ragtag.
Well, whatever, I can't say what I was, you know what other people say. So, getting close to the playoff spot, 2 points out, you're getting excited. So, I play that card for sure.
We don't often ask a professional head coach this, but this week we had unbelievable conversations with Dan Marley of Grand Canyon and Herm Edwards of ASU. And they both talked about Fortnite. And Dan Marley said to us, listen, quit telling me what you think you've done because you stayed after practice for 5 minutes. You didn't do what I have done to get to where I got. And then Herm Edwards told us too many kids think they can hit the reset button on life and that they think that they can avoid consequences. We don't normally talk to professional head coaches about that because you're coaching 30-year-old guys. Well, guess what, Rick Tocchet? You've had young guys for a long time, so we ask you, do you deal with some of the same things that college head coaches deal with because you've got so many young players?
Yeah, absolutely. I got a bunch of 20, 21-year-olds, so Herm, I should call Herm. I get the experience from him.
Right.
I mean, hell of a guy. And he's right. You can't just hit the reset, and you got to put your time in. Dan's right. 5 minutes after practice isn't going to cut it. I mean, I came from a coach in Pittsburgh where there's a reason why Sidney Crosby's the best player in the league. And this guy's on the ice half hour before and after practice, and he works on his game. I hear all the stories about Michael Jordan, all these guys, how hard they worked. I preach that all that time to our guys on our team.
Do they listen?
Yeah, they do. They're good kids, and they do. And they follow their leaders, too. And that's why it's important our leaders and our core group guys preach and preach the same thing that the coaching staff does.
Talk, I heard that some teams, they have a policy about Fortnite in regard to on the road and not actually. Do you have a policy on Fortnite?
I actually don't, but you're right. I think, my buddy Travis Green, Vancouver, I think as a team, they had a meeting themselves. They said, no Fortnite on the road. They said, don't bring it on the road. So it's, but I have not, there's no policy. I don't know if it's a problem or not. I have no idea.
Well, obviously, it's not a problem for you guys on the road. You're doing fantastic on the road. So whatever you're doing on the road, good job.
Yeah.
This is weird. Do you have a theory that you can share? Do you have a theory that you can't share? Do you know why you guys struggle at home?
I don't, but it's my job to find out, and it's something we're going to have to really dive into. It's kind of 2 years in a row for the, or, I mean, a year and a half since I've been here. We're on the road for some reason. We're winning games at home. We start some games sluggish. Mm-hmm. Not all the time. I thought we've had some good games this year at the home, but that's something that I got to figure out. That's my job to figure out why we're not as sharp at home, especially in the first period, than on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Talk, how big of a difference would Antti Raanta have made in your season so far?
Listen, goaltending is everything in the NHL. You look
kind of like quarterback, right?
Look at Philadelphia Flyers. They were in last place, a month ago? They get their new hot phenom goalie.
Yeah.
Builds confidence. Your players play a little bit looser. Yeah, Antti, especially the second half, he just galvanized our team. And then when he goes down with a knee injury, obviously it kind of crippled our team a little bit. But, Kemps came in, done his job. But goaltending in hockey is big. It's the number one thing, obviously, for sure.
One of the hottest topics in the NBA right now is tampering. You can't talk about any player that's on another team, but if there's ever a game, I don't know, upcoming at some point where a local legendary kid is coming back to town, how do you legally tamper to say, when free agency comes up, how do you talk to guys on other teams, or do you?
Actually, I was on a flight this summer with Austin Matthews.
Oh, look at that. Interesting.
Yeah.
How'd that conversation go?
Yeah. No, he's a great kid. It was great. No, we talked hockey and stuff like that. But, and he's, that's the one thing, being living in Arizona now, a guy like him grew up playing hockey in Arizona. And, he's one of the best players in the league. But, listen, there's a lot. Whether it's tampering, I don't know, whether coaches or GMs, they talk to other players casually, but very rarely it's ever proven, right?
Yeah.
used to be it. Very rarely, you're right about that, Todd. No doubt about it. The grapevine is vast and various, is it not? Let me just say this. Back when I was playing in the National Football League, a prerequisite, you had to be tough to play the game.
Yeah.
That was a prerequisite to playing the game well. I don't know if it's the case anymore in the game of football. It's changed so much. The rules have changed so much, Talk. I don't know if it's still a prerequisite in the game of football. Is it a prerequisite in the game of hockey that you have to be tough in order to play the game well?
It's a different toughness. Obviously, fighting's kind of eliminate from the game that intimidation of that physical, whatever. But being able to get to the paint, being able to get to the net, clearing people out in front of your net, things like that, like St. Louis did to us last night. That's a big thing if you want to make the playoffs, be in the playoffs. You got to be tough. I don't care if you're 5'9", if you're 6'4", you have to have a tough mentality when it comes to that brand of hockey and being quick. So, yeah, I mean, when we look at teams, our players and draft players and trade for players, we want tough players here mentally. I mean, obviously, Clayton Keller or Garland, they're not going to go and hit people. They're not
Connor Garland took one off the face.
Yeah.
That was all.
Yeah. There you go. That's
what we did.
He came back and scored. Like, that's the story. Came back in the game. That's toughness to me.
Another story of toughness that I want you to expound on, and I admit, I don't know if you wake up every morning and you can't get enough Ron Wolfley in your life, so you listen all the time. But there was one night when you guys were on the road, I just came in gushing about you. And that was the night in your Eastern Canada road trip when everything went wrong. In the, what was it, the trip to Montreal,
the flight,
And you come in and you get a win in a barn like that, and then you fight like crazy. I mean, I don't know if you can go into detail of all what that'll, but how many of today's professional athletes, I don't want to say anybody's coddled, but the life is so much better than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you go through real life busing and all that crap, and your guys show that they can handle it, and it's the All-Star break coming up when most guys, young guys, check out. That was phenomenal.
I give my team a lot of credit. Sometimes, you got to be careful to get that entitlement thing. We travel in nice planes. I mean, there's food everywhere. We have the same flight attendants, great hotels. So you get accustomed, right? You get accustomed to that stuff. So anyways, our plane broke down. We had to take a bus, and it was a three-hour bus. We didn't get until 3 or 4 in the morning in Montreal. Nobody complained.
It's awesome.
Back of the bus and stuff like that. I swear, there was nobody bitching, and it was something. And we had a great effort the next day. We actually played really well. So I was proud of him in that moment. Yeah. There was no entitlement on that situation.
That's fantastic. What time's practice today?
Practice will be at 12.
So you got Do you have more time? I mean, we've got you scheduled till now, but we don't want to let you go.
Whatever. No, I'm good.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
No, that's awesome.
We like having Rick Tockett in the Auction Community Studios. Hopefully you do, too. So let's keep him around and figure out, okay, how can we get this team in the playoffs? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf bring you Newsmakers Week 2019, presented by Enterprise Bank and Trust, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, the Arizona Coyotes.
Rick Tockett. Oh, how about that? Well done, Bear. The only show in America that can make Loverboy look cool is the Doug and Wolf Show. Are you going to flash the four in his face?
Yeah, go ahead and flash it right now, Tock. You love Loverboy, right? Are you kidding right now? Loverboy, our number four of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the Morning, broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday during Newsmakers Week, the last day of Newsmakers Week. Ladies and gentlemen, flash that four, baby.
So the story here, it doesn't relate to hockey, Rick, but you need to know it, is we started playing Loverboy a long time ago, and that story's too long to tell for Ron Wolfley's brother. But the second part of the story is we started flashing the four, representing this is the last hour of the Doug and Wolf Show. We're getting ready to go home. Wolf went ballistic on flashing the four because he was
one
so
of my
mad.
Pet peeves, Doc. It's my pet peeve.
Oh, when they do that.
Oh, the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The guy without grass stains on his shorts is flashing the four.
Flashing the four. Where were you in quarter number 1, 2, and 3? We could have used you.
So then, just to help him out, we started flashing a number for each hour. Okay, we'll flash the one for you, Wolf.
There you go.
Just so we can flash the four.
That's right.
So that's why. And now we have Rick Tockett flashing the four, even though he had absolutely no idea why he was doing it, unless it meant because we're getting closer to how many points out of a playoff spot we are.
Why the lover boy? What's the...
Okay,
is that a long story?
Older brother
Craig. But you should hear it.
No, okay. my older brother Craig... used to play the song on a Friday night.
Oh, nice.
Getting ready to go out, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I remember being a young man and standing on the cellar steps, because that's where our bedroom was, in the cellar. All right, don't just please.
Yeah,
just use your imagination
right
there. Three boys in a 10x10 room down in the basement, right? But I remember standing there watching him on a Friday night. He had the Jordache jeans on, and he had the big neon comb, and he was brushing his feathered hair back like Keith Partridge, listening to Loverboy as he was getting ready to go out. And even as a young man, Talk, I said to myself, there's something wrong with that.
I think I might have done that too, though. I think I had a pair of Jordache jeans with that, and I had the long hair, man.
Right, Doc.
Remember John Travolta and Saturday? Remember when he showed his hair?
It was a big deal. There's no doubt about it.
Now, the humor of this is this show has been, we were entering year 13. I can't believe we haven't been fired yet. And when Wolf first told that story, we started playing the song a lot to make fun of it. And he got mad because he wanted to protect his brother.
Oh.
So his brother is he's got the same role in Pittsburgh. His brother does a talk show in Pittsburgh, and he's an analyst for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's right.
When you
were
there with the Pens.
Absolutely.
So because of this, the rule is if you learn the story, you can never tell Craig Wolfley the story. So for 13 years, even with social media, no one's ever been the jerk to break the promise. And his brother still to this day doesn't know that we play the song.
And it's because I love and respect him so much.
He doesn't want him to know.
I respect him so much.
So there's
but I
our
knew there was something
reminiscing with Rick
with
this morning.
He doesn't own a gym. No, he doesn't own a gym.
No, he did. Yeah,
he owned a gym. That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Full contact, man.
Full contact.
Absolutely.
That's impressive that you know. Rick Tockett, head coach of the Coyotes, in studio, reminiscing about his assistant coach days with the Pens. I want to ask you something from a novice point of view, and that is I am a Coyote couch expert, watching almost every game from my couch, and I think Clayton Keller is dripping with talent, and I don't know if he's too unselfish. I don't know if I'm just plain wrong. I don't think he shoots enough. I think, Clayton, you need to be a major goal scorer. And, you know, sometimes in basketball, you settle for a jumper. I think it's almost in his head that he needs to help other guys score more than realize, no, just win, and you might be the most elite player on the ice. Am I right or am I crazy? Should he be shooting more?
You're right. You're right. We've had numerous talks. You know, that's the one thing that this year he's been a little bit gun shy with a shot. He hasn't shot as much. Now I don't know. You know, sometimes, and I don't know if I believe in the sophomore jinx or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But he's, you know, he's had some good games for us. But there's some times when he has not shot the puck, not gotten to those areas. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes you need a little, you know. a little reminder once in a while.
Do you know why he hasn't?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, I'll be honest with you, and this is not just Clayton. These young guys, it's the YouTube, it's so they like to watch tic-tac-toe goals. They watch all these fancy goals. And, you know, I really believe guys look at that stuff and they want to emulate that stuff. And that doesn't win hockey games.
Right.
And when you see that stuff on SportsCenter, it probably took that team 100 times to do that one play.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather you just keep pounding the puck and get people in net. And, you know, he knows. He knows, and he tries to remind himself with it. But I really believe sometimes they get a little too fancy in their head. Mm-hmm. I really do.
You remember the movie Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where the kid said, "I see dead people."
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Sure.
Do you think that's a little bit of what is going on with Clayton Keller? Not the dead people.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going.
I see too much. Can he see too much of the? I mean, I think his vision is incredible. He sees it in almost the way the Matrix was set up, right?
Like he's overanalyzing.
Three-dimensional.
Well, it's a great analogy, because if you look, you know, he'll come down the side and he's got an open shot, but you know he's got great peripheral vision, right? He'll see something. And he'll try to make that play to that guy, right?
Can you see too much?
Sometimes you can.
I think
sometimes
he does.
You can. But yeah, you know, he's got to start deferring more to the shooting for sure.
How about the rest of the shooting? I'm completely stealing this from watching the broadcast, but there's a common theme on the television broadcast, which are shots are being taken but not on net, eliminating the chances of rebounds.
Yes.
How do you just magically fix that? Because is it two guys are trying to be too fine? Is it, what is the problem of why so many shots are the right decision to shoot it, but they're not getting on net?
Well, some of it's confidence. We have missed a lot of shots this year, a lot of shots, more than our fair share. Sometimes you have to have the mentality to shoot the puck for the second play. So if I'm going down the wing, I want to try to hit the pads where the puck's going to spray out to the rebound to one of our guys. If you miss the net, it just starts the other team's breakup, you know, and that's the worst thing you want to do. So, hitting the net is, what's Wayne Gretzky, you know, what's that, I forget what it is.
I missed Gretzky every shot I didn't take?
Or something, 99% of the time or something. Anyways,
of course it was
99. Gretz is going to give it to me now. It's a famous quote, actually. I don't even know it.
You know what? At the Wolfley compound, we watch a Coyotes game, right? And we walk around, and when I say we, I'm talking about my son, Vetter James, right?
Yeah.
And we walk around and go, look at Tuck. Look at Tuck right now, right? That's one of our favorite, look at Tuck, because they show you all the time, obviously. Your intensity level seems to be off the charts. Is it a prerequisite for a head coach in the NHL to be intense?
Yes.
You have to be.
You have to be intense, but I think coaches have changed over the years. I think you have to change as a coach. You can't be a yell and scream. Once in a while, I'll bark and stuff, but you know, for me, I got to be careful behind the bench that I'm not a big yelling
screamer. Do you think you've mellowed?
I have. I've mellowed in the sense of showing that kind of side of me.
Right.
I communicate more than I ever communicated. And I think players, you can be real honest with these guys, but they ask a lot of questions. 10, 20, 15. When you guys, you know, when you played, coach said, go get that puck and dump it in and hit that guy and get off.
And
you said, okay, coach.
Yeah.
Now they want to know why. You know, it's a wide open.
Every CEO has been dealing with this with millennials. And everybody that's a millennial gets blamed for it. I don't know why, but it is, tell me why.
Yeah.
And then I have to buy in. That's the new phrase, is I have to buy in. When, you know, even me being high school hairy varsity athlete, it was like, you never bought in. You just ran. If you didn't buy in, you just ran. That was it.
Are you guys going to get healthy? Who do you have coming back? Who's on the horizon, talk?
Dvorak, you know, could be a couple weeks. Demers is about 2-3 weeks, somewhere 4 weeks, somewhere in there. Rant, obviously not. Schmoltz is a big one, that losing him. He's probably our most skilled guy.
Yes.
That one hurt us, but he's out. You know, other than that.
And he was developing something nice with Clayton, it seemed like.
Yes, he was. And you know what? He's got another level. I'm excited for him next year to come to right from training camp, a good off season of training, because you know you just don't have those type of hands the way he has and the vision he has, and that's why we acquired him.
So if I got it right, Saturday night home against Toronto, Western Canada road trip, and then an enormous homestand, right? That's about the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is big. We got Toronto, you know, tough team. You know, they
second best in the East, I think. I don't have.
Yeah, they score a lot of goals. So, you know, obviously we got to defend well tomorrow night, and then, you know, we got Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver, and then we come back for a little bit of a 2-week home stretch. So, you know, this is kind of our season here. The next, you know, 3 weeks, we gotta put some wins together, and, you know, hopefully we can stay in the race.
Being a Buffalo boy, the Leafs are soft as butter.
Wolf always wants everybody to take down Toronto or Montreal because of Buffalo. The last question is, admittedly, it's an easy one, but we don't want to get in the way. We just wanted to give you the microphone and you talk to all Coyotes fans. What do you want them to know about the 2019 Coyotes the rest of the way?
Well, I thank them for the support. They've been unreal. You know, they could have packed it in a long time ago when we had all those injuries. Hey, another year. But they stuck with us like our team stuck with it, you know, and I really appreciate it. They've been unbelievable. You know, even around the streets, like I get people come up. Even after a loss, people come up. Maybe last year at the beginning, maybe not. I didn't get the same. but I think this year they've appreciated the hard work that our team has done. But we appreciate what they do. They come out. And then for me, the wins are going to come. We got to stick with the process and stick with it. We can't defer to something different. We just got to keep marching ahead, and hopefully we get healthy bodies back, and we'll see what happens. But I do appreciate what the fans are great here. It's great living here, and can't wait to get this product even off the charts.
Talk, thank you, man. Thanks
great
for
talking
coming
to you.
In here, sir, and thanks for hanging out.
Yeah,
anytime. That could be very cool, all day, man.
Yeah,
don't say that.
Go to five, right? We're not going to five.
No, you don't have to play five. Well, guess what? Rick Tocchet just talked himself into being a Ron Wolfley fill-in if he actually hangs around when Wolf goes on vacation sometimes. Coming up next, let's talk GCU. GCU Dan Marley started Newsmakers Week Monday morning. They'll end it with the president of the growth of GCU Athletics. That's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The decisions they make influence sports in Arizona now and in the future. Every move they make is news. Doug and Wolf bring you Newsmakers Week 2019, presented by Enterprise Bank and Trust. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
One of the important aspects of Newsmakers Week is we invite the college presidents to come in the Auction Community Studios as well because of the amazing importance, in my opinion, and hopefully a lot of you agree, the balance between academics and athletics. I have a major beef with any coach that don't think academics are important, and I have a major beef with academia when they try to act like athletics aren't important to complete the person. And Brian Mueller is live in studio, the president of GCU, to join us and talk athletics and academics. Good morning, Mr. President. How's your life?
It's very good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I don't know if this has been the talk of GCU, but it has been the talk of Newsmakers Week.
They're different in the fact that they're entitled. They think it should just happen. They don't understand why I'm not playing well, or why am I not starting, or why am I not getting it done? Why isn't this not happening to me? Because you're not putting in the time. I tell them, you're just not doing it.
There is about another 90 seconds to Dan Marley explaining, just because you worked hard on your Fortnite game and you spent an extra 5 minutes after practice, don't think you're impressing me because you haven't come close to doing what I did to get to where I am. And I've had people say, will you send me that so I can play it for my kid? And things like that. What kind of feedback have you gotten from the Dan Marley conversation from the beginning of Newsmakers Week?
It's the feedback we always get when Dan starts to talk, which is fantastic. I mean, he's just a very, very gifted communicator, and he really says directly what's on his mind. And I know what he's talking about. I coached high school basketball 7 years ago. I coached for 7 years. I coached small college basketball for 7 years, and that was in the 70s and early 80s. And there weren't clubs. Today, clubs have taken over for high school sports, and the club coaches, to a great extent, they're looking for players, the best players that they can get, and they play them. And if the kids don't like what they're getting, they go to the next club. And if they're not getting, and then they go to the next club. And it wasn't like that in high school in the 1970s. You were in a high school, and the high school had a program, the high school had a coach, and you had to figure out what was necessary to make it with that coach in that program.
And if you didn't, your parents had a problem with you, not the coach.
and so that's changed. And it hasn't had a good impact on kids. We got great kids. If we're talking about our kids in our basketball program, they really are. But some of them have come through the club program, and it's so much different than what Dan Marley experienced when he was a high school athlete and a college athlete. And so the juxtaposition of that is significant.
Yeah.
It's extreme. But Dan is the best guy for them. He's one of the few guys left, in my opinion, who can still coach the way coaches coached in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. His demands are significant. He is relentless. He never lets up. He holds them absolutely accountable, and they're all going to be better men as a result of it. We need more of him in our world.
Are you going to outgrow your campus over there? I mean, honestly, you guys are exploding still, are you not, Brian?
It's good. We've been blessed. We started with 95 acres and 900 students. Today we have almost 21,000 students, and we have 300 acres. It's going to grow to 400 acres and 30,000 students in the next 4 years. Average incoming GPAs of this year's class, which will be 8,000, is going to be almost 3.6. We have an honors college that has 2,400 kids in it, average incoming GPA is greater than 4.1. And so it's amazing what's happening. But it really is a reflection of what parents and families want for their children. If they can get them in an environment where there's a strong community and a system of values that shape what goes on in the learning, that's really, really important to them. And that's kind of what's happened.
You have gotten a national attention for your student section. How did the havoc start? If another president said, how do I get that? How do you answer that?
You know, if I line up 10 kids on our campus a day and I can pick them from anywhere and say, what do you like best about Grand Canyon University? 9 out of 10 will say immediately, I love the community. The community is very, very strong. Two-thirds of our kids live on campus. They live together as a community. We have almost 7,000 kids that attend chapel on Monday morning. It's an event-driven place. Kids are very supportive of each other. Everybody finds a place to belong. So it was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago that thing started to grow, and the kids came to me and said, you know, we want to have our own organization. And so I said, fine. So they have a president, they have a vice president, they have a treasurer, they have three marketing people. I meet with them every 2 weeks. And they're the group of kids that organize things around campus to support activities. Basketball is the highest profile thing. And yeah, we have 3,000 kids that attend our basketball games, and we have another, you know, 4,500 students, season ticket holders. And at that point, it's sold out. But the kids are absolutely unbelievable. It's their thing. They're driving it. They're really proud of it. Basketball has become a focal point, but they do that for all kinds of things. We're going to open up tonight in our new baseball stadium. It's a beautiful place. It's sold out for the first game against Wichita State, and our student section will be there, and they'll be just as crazy.
Biggest challenge facing you guys going forward? Can you grow too quickly? Can you grow too fast?
I think you can, but you know, people say to me, and I'll just lay it out. I mean, honest, we're a Christian university, and we are very committed to our belief system. We're very committed to our community. We have a 5-point plan. Our goal is to live out our faith in the community that we live in and transform it into a middle class community. And a lot of kids are coming because they want to be part of that. People say to me, well, Brian, why does it have to be 30,000 students? You know, most Christian universities are much smaller than that. And I said, you know, you're asking the wrong question. The question should be, why aren't there 30 of these with 30,000 students? Because if there were 30 of these with 30,000 students, we'd live in a different culture.
Yeah. Amen.
We'd live in a different America.
Amen. Brian Mueller is the president of Grand Canyon University. Last year, you made some pretty big news on Newsmakers Week when you let us know that the relationship with you and ASU is not nearly as icy cold as it used to be at one point. Where are we now? How close are we to a Bobby Hurley versus Dan Marley annual basketball event?
I hope we're close. I tell people all the time, I've got four boys. The two oldest ones went to Arizona State. My oldest one was captain of the golf team. I've got two, my two younger sons. When I went to Grand Canyon, they came to Grand Canyon. I tell everybody, they all four got great educations. They're all four doing well. The youngest two will do better in the will than the two oldest. But other than that, they're all doing great. No, we think the world of Arizona State University, their programs, their professors, their students, we want the relationship to be very strong. And I think going forward, it will be strong. And I really, really hope that leads to a home-and-home series or something. Maybe we play down at Talking Stick on a neutral court, but I think it would be great for the community. Yeah, so we're hoping. We're open. We want to play, and we hope that sooner than later it happens.
Last question. What do you want everybody in the city to know about Grand Canyon University?
You know that we're so proud of our students. Our students, not only are they gifted academically, they are committed to their faith, and they're committed to helping other people. What's going on in the West Valley in terms of our safety program, our school program, our habitat program, our students are pouring into that community every single day in dozens and dozens of ways, and it's making an impact. One of the most embarrassing things about being in America today is the continued deterioration of our inner cities. It doesn't have to be that way. Universities can be economic catalysts that can get in the middle of those communities and change them. And the fact that our students are committed to that is a really, really gratifying thing to me.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Good to talk to you, Brian.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
You can join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live coming up tomorrow, 9 to 11. He'll be at the Chick-fil-A off the 202 in Santan Village Parkway. That's Gilbert. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, plus Suns, Coyotes, and Innings Festival tickets. Visit the events page at ArizonaSports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Basketball Roadshow Series. Coming up next, Paul's Call stands up for what's right. And what's right is a Friday's poll call on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's call.
All right, been a tough week around here.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
It's been tough. If you're Thunder Dan.
I saw a bunch of guys that didn't come to play. First half was an embarrassment. They should be embarrassed. Did not play at all.
Coach Marley last night after the Lopes lost in OT.
And then they come out in the second half and they decide they want to start playing and it's too late. Had a chance to win at the end, didn't win it, and just got blown out in the overtime. We deserve it. We deserve it. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about these guys. I don't know.
Oh, Coach Marley.
Disappointed!
That's the next question, Doug, in the post-game interview.
So, quick turnaround. You got an early game
Saturday.
Yeah,
and we better get it going or we're going to lose that game, too.
Oh.
Our guys got to figure it out. I don't know. Oh. I can't explain it. I don't know. I tried to be a lot calmer.
Yeah.
I sat the whole first half.
Yeah. It
Paul, that overtime was 16-4.
Yeah, it didn't work.
We need more dogs.
Thunder Dan has reached his breaking point.
Be a dog.
Yeah, when you lose to a bad team with a bad nickname, the UMKC Kangaroos.
You know, good for Kansas City. They play in this gym. There was, what, 50 people here?
A small crowd, yep.
And our guys go home and play in front of 7,400. They should be embarrassed.
Oh.
They should be absolutely embarrassed.
Ouch.
Because I am. I'm extremely embarrassed.
We're officially loaning Thunder Dan. The Zotto Shotgun of Sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and coach rants in every direction.
To tell you the truth, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire. You know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this. But it's hard for guys to go through what they've been through.
Yeah. The candor of Alvin Gentry. We love it.
Well, it's a hell of a lot better than having trophy guy walking around here. I can tell you that.
Thank you, Coach.
I miss Alvin, too.
Wait, back to Thunder Dan. He's not done.
They deserve to win. Good for them.
Yeah.
Really good. I told them all that. Thank you for kicking our butts. We deserved it.
Do you realize we used to have Alvin Gentry and Dan Marley as Suns coaches?
Outstanding.
They would fill in.
Yes.
Wait, guys, what about the backups?
You know, my bench was terrible, awful.
Oh.
We'll just have to find five guys that want to play and put them up there.
So, more than one headache, apparently.
And Alvin Gentry's got an Excedrin headache.
Oh,
he wants a timeout.
It's not just Alvin with headache.
And Alvin Gentry's got an Excedrin headache.
Right.
He wants a timeout.
An Excedrin.
Hey, don't forget, it's a Football Friday as we hit this button.
And now, mandatory.
Murray. Did you hear Kyler Murray's agent?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Middle round
Stop
for
it.
This guy?
No, it's Drew Rosenhaus.
Next question.
Kyler's agent is Eric Burkhart, and he's already sick of it.
To listen to the palaver.
Listen to Burkhart.
Kyler is not some little shrimp they're making him out to be. I see people have him at 178, 180 pounds. This kid weighs 205 yesterday.
Holy sh**.
Scale.
Oh,
this kid
God.
Is jacked the F up.
Wait, what was all that?
What?
He's jacked the F up. This is Eric Burkhart on Johnny Manziel's podcast and company. Asked, and he's got a rant to all the GMs out there about his client, the diminutive American. Again,
Kyler is not some little shrimp they're making him out to be. I see people have him at 178, 180 pounds. This kid weighs 205 yesterday.
Holy sh!
Scale.
Oh,
this kid
God.
Is jacked the F up.
He says he's 205 and he's, quote, jacked the F up.
Wait a minute. Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
205.
He says he's 205.
Don't worry. It'll be proven at the combine.
Are you juicing, dude?
So now Kyler's agent is
mandatory.
Murray. As Burkhart continues with his rant.
These days and age of these old NFL dinosaurs and scouts that sit back and talk about what players can't do. Oh, he can't do that. He's not this. He's not that. Those are the losers. I mean, sorry. That's what it is. If you want all your requirements and all of that, that's not what the NFL game is today.
He's calling the older NFL decision makers who aren't on board with Kyler, quote, losers and dinosaurs.
What's that?
Ugh. Once again.
Oh, he can't do that. He's not this. He's not that. Those are the losers. I mean, sorry, that's what it is. If you want all your requirements and all of that, that's not what the NFL game is today.
Yeah, you want that whole height thing and everything.
How's that going
nobody's
over?
Nobody's ever played as small as he is, diminutive as he is. Nobody's ever.
How's what? That going over with the guys you got to negotiate with?
And that was another edition of Mandatory.
Murray. Actually.
205, Paul. It's juicing.
It's not over. Give me some music, please.
No.
If everybody else is going to rant,
Paul.
We've got our own rant.
No, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
Remember the dude in Colorado?
So stoked.
No. Not the snowboarder. The trail runner dude.
Just a show of hands. Who all is disappointed that I'm not, in fact, Chuck Norris? Yeah, I know.
Here he is meeting the media yesterday.
A pretty big letdown for everybody who thought I was a big, beefy guy.
Not a big guy.
Who's got the largest arms in the world, brother?
No, no. What happened again?
The cat lunged at Kaufman.
Started to claw at my face and neck. That's when kind of my fear response turned into more of a fight response.
Single-handedly fought a mountain lion with his bare hands.
Kaufman shifted his weight, and he said he screamed a barbarian yell and got his foot on its neck.
It finally stopped moving.
Dude won in the wilderness.
Messing with Sasquatch.
Man defeats beast.
The barbarian yell, Paul.
And the lesson here in the aftermath.
Kaufman received 28 stitches. At 5'10", 155 pounds, he says this story is bigger than his puny form.
Hang on, how big again?
At 5'10", 155 pounds.
If this 5'10", 155 pound guy can kill a mountain lion with his bare hands, well, guess what?
Mandatory.
Murray. 5'10", Kyler Murray can survive and thrive playing quarterback in the NFL, we say.
You're damn right.
And everybody who says otherwise and stink and sleep with the fishes.
Okay, Paul, it's time for you to answer. Do you want the Cardinals to trade Josh Rosen?
Thank goodness. We're completely...
This guy.
We're completely out of time and we're up against it.
Yeah.
Hey, intern, get off Fortnite. I said get off Fortnite. Don't make me call Coach Marley. I'll pull this car around.
This has been another edition of Paul's Call.
Get off me.
Now kindly get off Paul.
I'm busy.
He's busy.
The first one out of the gym and then went and played Fortnite.
Right.
Don't come up to my office and say this because you don't know what I did to get to where I went.
Yeah.
So I'm not impressed.
Please don't tell Thunder Dan Arsane.
Hit it.
Win or lose, we still lose.
Ball, knock it off.
Hey, Frosty, Arizona.
Beat me.
Sierra Nevada time.
Elvis has just left the building.
This ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
That's a good ball.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo.
Doug and Wolf's. You. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show, is if they could ever get an ASU-GCU basketball game, who in the world would want to officiate that game between Bobby Hurley and Dan Marley?
Dan Marley needs to recruit the guy who killed the mountain lion.
5'10", yeah. 155 pounds.
That's a diminutive American.
Listen, if you have to fight a mountain lion, grab its head and then take your two thumbs stick your thumbs right into its eyes.
Stop it.
And pluck its eyes out.
Okay, come on.
Peace and strength.
How do you know? Man.